Just want to welcome everybody to our first of the month, our roast and fish. So we just are excited for another month. Be praying for Sukkot, that we can do Sukkot. Yes. Amen. And that they will be open. Right now they're closed. They're going to be closed till August at least. And then hopefully they'll be open definitely after that. And usually since it's us and they're not usually involved except for just being there, somebody. So maybe we can be a special case. That's a good, first time it's really a good time to be a special case. That's right. So usually being a special case ain't good, but maybe this time it would be. But really, you know, so just be praying for that because, again, it'll be here before we know it. Anyway, there's a lot going on, and so we will just start off. If Tammy, if you would.
All right, so we'll read 1 Chronicles 23, 30, and 31 to show a pattern. They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening, and to offer all burnt offerings to Yahweh on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and the fixed festivals, and the number set by the ordinance concerning them continually before Yahweh. Amen. And then Ezekiel 46, for another pattern of what they did on this day. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, the gate of the inner court facing east shall be shut the 6 working days, but it shall be opened on the Sabbath day and opened on the day of Rosh Chodesh. The prince shall enter by way of the porch of the gate from outside and stand by the post of the gate. Then the priest shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate and then go out. But the gate shall not be shut until the evening. The people of the land also shall worship at the doorway of the gate before Yahweh on the Sabbaths and on Rosh Chodesh. Amen.
Amen. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 52. I wanted to read in Jeremiah. He was a prophet, naturally. And I just want to read, because this is the fourth month, and there was, you know, naturally on the ninth day of this month is whenever they breached the wall of the city. And during Zedekiah's day and Nebuchadnezzar's day. But I wanted just to read an account that happened there in Jeremiah 52. And then we'll jump over to 2 Chronicles 36. And this really retells the story. But it has some very interesting things that I did not find in here. You know, I think that we can definitely, as we talked about on Shabbat, we're in definitely a peculiar times, but we are a peculiar people. And the Father's wanting us to move forward and not move backwards. We talked about this. So I know sometimes, you know, some people will say there's a new normal. Well, definitely there's going to be not an old one, but a new one. But we're moving forward. The Father's doing something for us in this land. He's doing something. But at the same time, there's a lot of judgment coming down, and it's not going to stop. It's just going to, this is a time. And so I wanted to read this story here because whenever kings do evil in the sight of Yahweh, you would think that they would learn from the king before them. But they double down and they just continue to do it. But you remember in Job's story, Job had 3 great friends. Y'all know what I'm saying? And so we're talking about, in the lampstand, we were talking about the righteous lamp. We're talking about the 7 spirits of the Holy Spirit. You know, wisdom, counsel, knowledge, understanding. Well, you would think that Job would have, if he had these 3 great friends, that they would have used the spirit of righteousness to help him out. But yet they didn't. They judged by what they saw. And because he was going through judgment, it looked like judgment. They didn't discern what was proper, and they're saying, well, Yahweh's mad at you, you know, not knowing what was going on between Yahweh and Satan, you know, if you consider my servant Job, you know, and there's this battle going on. So it's so important that we understand what's happening during these times and these seasons, because we are going to have to make decisions. We need to make righteous decisions and not decisions by what we feel or by what we see naturally. And that's really what most of us do, okay? And we usually have people that will agree with us. It gets us in trouble. And this is what's happened even with Zedekiah in his day. And that's so, in verse 1, it says, Zedekiah was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, it says, and he did which was what? Evil in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. You think, and this is what I'm saying, you would think since Jehoiakim had done evil in the eyes of Yahweh and he was removed, because Nebuchadnezzar removed him years ago and placed Zedekiah in his place, you would think, I need to do good and need to do right, and then maybe the Father would show mercy, but no, he didn't. It says, verse 3, for though the anger of Yahweh, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judea till he had cast them out of his presence that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now, think about this. He's already rebelling against Yahweh. Now, for some unknown reason, he's emboldened somewhere because the king of Babylon set him up to rule Judea. They hadn't been going on. They didn't take them all off yet. But yet now he is wanting to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, I don't know, Edie's Weedies, or he done something to embolden him. Verse 4 said, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came. So in other words, he didn't leave. You rebelled, I'm coming to get you, big boy. And it said, he and all of his family against Jerusalem and pitched against it and built forts against it round about. The city was besieged on the 11th year of King Zedekiah. All right, look what happens next. And here we are. We're in the fourth month. And I do believe that a lot of times, especially in these stories here, where whenever the walls of Jerusalem was breached in a certain period of time and a certain month, whenever the temple was destroyed on the same day during the same month, 500 whatever it was years apart or whatever, we have to take note of this because the Father allowed this to happen for us later, for us not to make the same mistakes that our forefathers has made. Because he's telling you, it's just not random stuff going on here. And so you're seeing, and I believe that there's a reason for this. Then it says, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, what happened? A famine was sore in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. Remember we talk about altar judgments? Here's one of them. Famine is an altar judgment. So famine is in the land. So you would think, number one, Zedekiah, if there's famine in the land, Yahweh's not happy with you. And if Yahweh's not happy with you, what are you thinking going against Nebuchadnezzar? You think Yahweh is going to fight for you against Nebuchadnezzar whenever he's not fighting for you? He's not even letting your own land, milk and honey, be produced. This is where, and can you now sort of see where we're at in America? Where people are doubling down on stupid. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Defund the police if you want to. Let them, pull them all out. Y'all get after it. And then when there's nobody left, move in, get them all cleaned out, start all over, I guess. Because now you know the murder rates in New York City and all that is, they're all increasing, going through the roof. Because there's just, I don't know who you're going to call. Call Ghostbusters. They may come in there with that little old thing and ray gun them all down or something. I don't know. I mean, what? This is where we're at. I mean, I don't know. Heavenly days. So there's, I'm just talking about, I'm reading this story because we're no different today. We don't listen to what's going on. When there's things happening in our land right now, it's chaotic. We need to pay attention. The Father's trying to get our attention. He's been really trying to get our attention. I'm going to show you this later. Because really, we're in the result mode. We're not something going to happen mode, or this is coming down the pike mode. We are in the result mode of things that we should have done years ago. He gave us plenty of opportunity. We're in the reaping mode. They're in the reaping mode here. So there was a famine that was there. There was no bread. And it says, then the city, verse 7, then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled. Well, that was really nice. They went forth out of the city. See, they defunded their police here, so they all took off, okay? And they all went out of the city by night, and by the way of the gate between the two walls. I'm like, you know, you're going to escape. I mean, Yahweh's going to bring judgment. Like, where are you going to go? Which was by the king's garden. Now, the Chaldeans were by the city around about, and they went by the way of the plain. All right, remember, there's another altar judgment, and there's another altar judgment. It's called the sword. Verse 8, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all of his army was scattered from him. Do we see a scattering that's happening today? People don't know what to do, don't know what to say. They're afraid. They're afraid to say, I'm for this. You can't say one thing without saying something else and somebody else getting offended. It is so out of whack. It is in the Messianic community also. It's been going on there, and that's what I'm talking about. So you see a scattering here. We need to pay attention, because when the Father allows, look, if he wouldn't have hemmed the children of Israel up at the Red Sea with two mountains and Pharaoh in the Red Sea, they would have scattered. Sometimes the Father has to bring things in our life to hem us up so we won't run. He's wanting us to walk through victorious and have victory in our life, but it's either fight or flight. That's usually the way we are. And we have to know that, are we here to fight through this, or are we going to run every time something happens? So you see here, no hope. So they're going to sneak out at night thinking that they're going to get away. Well, they didn't get away. And so in verse 9 it says, and they took the king and they carried him up into the king of Babylon at Rabbah. I think that's how you say it. In the land of Hamath. And it says, where he gave judgment upon him, and the king of Babylon, now this is what happens. He slew his two sons. Or he slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew them also, all the princes of Judah. After the king saw Nebuchadnezzar kill his sons and the princes, then what did he do to Zedekiah? He put his eyes out. So the last thing that he remembered, the last thing that he saw is what he's going to remember. And this is what you do. You lose your family. You lose those that's close to you when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So he ended up in prison until his death. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 36. Now in Chronicles, this is retelling the story, but it's filling in some things that's very important to us. Starting in verse 11. Again, it talked about Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began his reign, and he reigned for 11 years. Verse 12. He did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh as Elohim. But listen to what it says. This is so important. He did not humble himself before who? Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of Yahweh. Jeremiah came to him in his reign multiple times, telling him from Yahweh, said, Jeremiah, go tell him. I guess after probably about the 10th time, he'd have said, well, he ain't going to listen. But Jeremiah did what the Father said. He went and told him over and over and over and over again, if you don't repent and change your ways, this is what's going to happen to you. So you see here that the Father had mercy. He sent word for them to repent and to change. But it said he did not humble himself before the very prophet, the very mouth of Elohim. Here again, he doubled down. He says, he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, whom he had made him swear by Elohim. It said he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart against turning to Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. All right, now listen here. This is another key in this scripture, in this text right here. All the officers of the priest and people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abomination of the nations. And they polluted the house of Yahweh that he had made holy in Jerusalem. All of the officers of the priest, the priesthood, what are the priesthood? What was their job? To protect the people, to make sure that the Torah was taught and that they were obedient to his word. These priests, what's happening is, Jeremiah is coming as a mouthpiece and he's saying, you need to repent. You're evil, and all your ways are evil. But yet, Zedekiah has all of the priests. He's got other prophets. He's got all of these people in his ear saying, Yahweh is with you. Yahweh is with you. You know something had to be in Zedekiah's ear for him to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. You know what I'm saying? And this is what all these officers and the people likewise, he was emboldened by, just like the three boys or the three friends of Job. He was emboldened by false word, false prophet, that false light we talked about on Shabbat. He was listening to wrong counsel, not being able to discern, because Jeremiah, you don't see a lot of other prophets here giving a negative word, but you see a whole lot of people giving positive words. And you see this today in the body of Messiah. Oh, it's not a problem. The body of Messiah has caved to this world system in so many, many areas. Now they don't know where to stop. They've opened a floodgate of a dam and they can't shut it off. It is leaking everywhere and they don't even know where to put their finger in it to try to stop it. Because you've said, abortions, you're killing babies. Left and right. We talk about this. We got gay marriage. You got all of these things that's happening. And then you're agreeing with all of this stuff or turning a blind eye. But yet, and it's no different. All of these people are telling the fivefold ministry, that's okay. Tell us something that tickles our ear. Tell us something that's going to make us feel good. Tell us about I Fly Away, O Glory. Tell me about my ticket of getting out here during the rapture. Tell me about, all of these things. Well, you know what? You see what I'm saying? The body of Messiah, sometime or another soon, is going to wake up and they're going to say we've been lied. They're going to realize they've been lied to. But the thing about it is will they make the right turn or will they take the mark of the beast? Guys, I'm getting up here now. I got to get a little taller than Tammy. Man and beast was created on the same day. Adam gave in to the beast nature. It is our proclivity to give in to the beast nature. When times get tough, when things get hard, it's too easy to turn to that beast nature and allow that to rise in our hearts and lives. We have to fight hard to guard against that. And as this thing rolls on, it's going to get harder and harder to do that. That's why the Torah and the Holy Spirit is so prevalent in our lives. It has to be so much ingrained in us. It can't be just a one-day thing. It can't be just a Shabbat thing. Shabbat is when he meets with us, but he will meet with us every day if we'll come to him, especially, 9, 12, and 3? You know what I'm saying? We have these times that he says that he will do that. But if you don't meet with him, eventually, and you know what? We can read all of these fancy books, and we can hear all of these people. I heard one minister, I ain't going to name his name. But, he professed months ago that in the name of Yeshua, COVID was dead. He said in the name of Jesus, COVID's dead. Nobody else was going to die. Well, a lot of other people died since then. But they can say these things because they're so used to, in the charismatic, it was blab it and grab it. Just be positive. I'm the head, not the tail, and, my toenails don't stink and all that stuff. They get into this thing and you get to rolling, but you got to wake up and understand. Well, the thing about it is, You know it don't, because you can't smell. But what I'm saying is this. What's wrong? That's right, get you a drink. Well, I'm just, look, guys, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. There is some things positive for the remnant. Because we're not appointed to wrath. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But too many people are looking for the once saved, always saved, or are looking for that ticket to punch to get out of here. And I've always said this. I'm not an expert on the second coming. All I know is that he's coming. And all I know is he says, watch and be ready and keep your lamps full and keep your oil in your lamps and study my word, do my word, serve your people, do this. And when I come, you can hear that trumpet, you hear that blast. Don't be listening to all these false things going on. But guys, there's a lot of false horn tooting going on out there. Just a lot of confusion going on there trying to figure out exactly. And all I'm telling you is if this happened here, all of the officers or all of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful. Didn't say a little bit. They were exceedingly unfaithful. And following the abominations of the nations. Verse 15, it says, and Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers. This has been going on for a long time. Now I want to say this. Let me get back up here. We got into Hebrew Roots 2004, 2002. That's right. When you're down, that's right. 2002. Think about it. We started keeping the feast in 1987 from a Greek mindset. But 2002, you know, Bill and we finally, you know, her dad and pastor, and we got into Hebrew Roots. We didn't know what a root was. We didn't understand it. We learned a lot of things that was good. We learned a lot of things that was bad. You know, people, but think about this. 2002, this is 2020. So do the math. How many years ago was that? But I'm just saying since Hebrew Roots, I'm just saying really from the Hebrew 18 years, when I'm talking about learning, we should be so much further along. I'm talking about the body of Messiah. Think about it now. Track with me just a little bit, okay? I had no idea about no tallit or about a tzitzit or about these things that covers your bald spot. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know about this stuff. Brukatai Adonai. Foreign languages. You know, thought I was speaking in tongues. But that's Hebrew, learning Hebrew and the importance of it. Didn't know what this means. Torah, never heard the word Torah except the Japanese Torah, Torah, Torah that was on a movie. Okay? If you've ever seen the war movie back and you saw it, didn't know what a Torah was. Just track with me now. But yet, we're wearing tzitzits. We're wearing kippahs. We're having tallits. The Torah is not a Japanese thing. It's a Hebrew thing. It's the first five books of the Bible. It's an awesome way to live your life. It's not done away with. It doesn't start in Matthew or it doesn't start in Acts. It doesn't start in John. But it starts in Genesis. And we've learned and we're understanding now, we're understanding a little bit how we're understanding what Revelation's saying by understanding what the Torah is saying. Because it repeats itself over and over and over again. But we've been doing this, us, for here, 18 years. We've learned a lot, but there's a lot of things because I'm just telling you, human nature really is skeptical. Sometimes we're skeptical on things. Because in the beginning, I'm just telling you, we've had some Jewish people, rabbi Jewish people, that, man, we were so excited to have them. We had him for the feast and unleavened bread. But he going to get him a hamburger at McDonald's because he was hungry. I said, we're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He said, well, you know, I'm free in Jesus. I mean, Yeshua. I said, what? I mean, here's a rabbi who's accepted Yeshua, and we had a couple of them. I'm disillusioned. Bill was disillusioned. Their dad, I'm like, I don't think we can stone him. You know, I don't know what we can do with the dude is here. But I'm confused now. We're sitting here at Unleavened Bread eating crackers. Well, not crackers, but matzah. Well, we thought it was crackers before we understood it was a matzah. Because matzah is holy. You know, cracker, an unleavened cracker ain't nothing. But if you say matzah, it's holier when you say matzah. Okay? But we're sitting here eating matzah, and he's eating a Big Mac. And he's teaching us from the old, little old blue church. So I'm just telling you that it's no different today than it is in this day here. Now we've learned, and he is working with us, and he's working with remnants like us all over the world. And I am so excited about it. But I'm just telling you, the Father has got his finger. Doop. And there's famine going on, and there's the sword. The sword's been going on, but it's in the Middle East. But guess what? Now it's drifting. Because it's worldwide. It's not just a little spot anymore. Because this is what I'm saying. For us, 2002, he sent us a message. And he sent us a message that we need to do the Torah. He said, he sent us a message that we need to come up a big level. That was the prophecy. We needed to come up a level. That was a word that was sent to us. You need to come up a level. But you know what? He's been telling us we need to continue to climb that mountain and not be just satisfied with a little bit of honey. Going up there where they're making the honey. Don't worry about it. You ain't going to get stoned. But this is what he was saying. Verse 15, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Yahweh just didn't say, okay, I'm mad at you. I'm fixing to come in here, and I'm going to kick Heine and take names later. I'm sorry. But anyway, he's not going to do that. He warned them for years. He warned Jehoiakim. And then he ended up dying, and Zedekiah shows up. He warned them for years, sending the prophets. But you got to know that when the word of the Father comes, it's usually not what we want to hear. But there's always other false prophets come, and that's usually what we want to hear. And so it's easier to accept that false light or that false word. But he sent to them persistently his messengers. And it's plural here. Verse 16, and this is where we're at today. But they kept mocking the messengers of Elohim, despising his words, scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of Elohim, the wrath of Yahweh, rose up against his people. Who did he rise up against? His people. Not the world. His people. Until there was no remedy. So this is what I wrote down here. The word for this month is this. How long will my people keep mocking the messengers and scoffing my prophets? My patience is running thin. For my remnant, do not grow weary in doing good. Stay strong, for my wrath is not appointed for the righteous. And that's our word. Because he's bringing the hammer down, and we're in the middle of hammering. And there's going to be more hammering going on. Do not grow weary in doing good, because he promises that judgment and his wrath is not for the righteous. But this is what this teaching has been about, and where it's going, and what we've been saying for a long time. It's not so much what I say about Yahweh. What does Yahweh say about Mark? What does he say about me? What does he say about Tim? What does he say about you? Are we a fat olive? Are we an olive that needs to get a little bit more juice in us? You know, what are we? Do we have our flask full? Are we preparing spiritually? See, I believe this, and I see it more now because of all the things that's happened. Remember, first the natural, then the spiritual? We have been talking about, for a while, getting our gardens ready, getting things in the natural ready. Now, we see why. Because now, there's famine. There's things that's happening all over the world. Think about this now. Go buy a pack of hamburger meat. A pack of hamburger meat is like four times what it's been. And it ain't because the cows are bad. is because the packing plants got emptied out because of that virus. They had so many in there, they shut the places down. So what I'm saying is you can go to Hokies over there. You can get you a chicken, get you some pork. Can't get no pork. What's wrong with y'all? But beef, they're not serving beef because beef, as of last week, beef was so expensive, they're just not getting it. They could go get it, but who's going to pay $40 for nachos? Beef nachos. You're not going to do that. You know? So what I'm saying is these are wake-up calls for us. Messengers of Elohim has been coming in this land, and this America, this we know it, this is why you have such venom in Washington, D.C. And it ain't going to get any better. I don't care who they put up there. The rattlesnakes are out of the bag. And who's going to grab one of them things and put it back in? You see what I'm saying? The thing is, you better kill the thing. You know what I'm saying? And this is what's happening in this land today. And this is why, because you know what? People has been mocking his messengers. And you know what? It starts with the church as a whole first. Because I'm telling you, they're saying, you know what? I come. Bill used to say this. We come, we get our eye salve. We come, get our eye. We smooth it because we got red all in our eyes because they're burning. But we get a little bit of salve on Sunday, is when we came on Sunday. Get a little bit of salve, make us feel better. And then we go on and play our ball, go on and do our thing. We didn't count anything sacred or holy. We just come to do our due, and then we moved on. But the beautiful thing is we have been honoring Shabbat. We're honoring his feast the best that we know how. Have we made mistakes? Absolutely we made mistakes. But do we repent? Absolutely we do. But the thing is we're trying and we're growing and we're doing. And the Father, it's up to him to show us how to do it. And he's been doing it, and it's been awesome. But guys, how many times have you ministered to somebody about the Torah and about what we do? At least once or twice? Did it really change their lives? Sowing a seed. But you know what? Some people it has. That's why we have people here. But the masses it hadn't, and why? Do you know that most people won't do Hebrew roots for one reason? I don't want to give up Christmas. I'm like, what in the world has that got to do with the price of tea in China? And we don't even buy tea in China no more. You see what I'm saying? So people say, really, I'm like, but the Father has been ministering to us, not only here, all over the world. He's still doing it, but it's time that he's touching, because he is now hemming us up between the mountains, Egypt, and the Red Sea. The remnant, we're not worried about it, because we know that there is a way out. He's got a way for us. We know that. But the body of Messiah as a whole, they're looking for the rapture. They're looking for that ticket out of here, fly away, oh glory. And when they realize that they're not going up, they got to go through something, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, and they're going to start hollering and complaining and grumbling like we've been talking about. But for us, we need to stay strong. He says, do not grow weary in doing good. Continue to do good. Continue to look up. Continue to do what you're doing. Because you know what? I look at it now. Sometimes I get disheartened. You know, it's like, you tell these people. But now I feel like now where we're at is we're like the ones that's got the life preservers. So instead of when somebody falls out of the boat, throw them a life preserver, I just let them tread water a little while. Because when they start to panic, then I'll throw them a life preserver. Because then they'll quit fighting. And I think that's what the Father is trying to teach us to do, is don't lose your patience. Continue to minister. Continue to be a light. What did he tell us to do? Bear fruit, and we serve one another. I don't care who they are. We had you the other day. You went out and you changed out that panel box for that lady. Still working on it. But we did get an air conditioner in there for her, and not this, that, and the other. But here's the thing. We didn't ask nothing in return. I don't go do something for you so you will come to this church. That ain't what we do. We serve you and you praise the Father. And if you belong here, He will do that part. I'm not out there doing pack a pew month because that don't work. You know what I'm saying? But we are to do good works and they will glorify. He gets all the credit. And all you're gonna, you don't have to tell us how good we are or anything like that. You just tell Him that you're thankful for us. And you know what? He will bless us again, and we can go out and help somebody else. That's our job. So many people at the end of their life ends up, when they get down to this end, I can't say this, but somebody very dear to me, and dear to all of us, if you really knew who I was talking about, but I saw something that they put on his website, and it was Ecclesiastes. When it's all said and done, follow Him and keep the commandments. And I saw that on the website. And so that shows you that when it's all said and done, that's what's important. All of this other stuff is not important. You know, so doing our part, doing this, because how long will He continue to send these messengers? But sooner or later, what He's going to do, He's not going to send the messengers no more. He's going to send the famine. He's going to send the sword. He's going to send the pestilence. And He's going to send the wild beast. These, Revelation talks about these four horsemen. There's a horseman riding today. One of these horsemen are always riding in one of these generations that we've had. Because we've had this. Now one day, they're going to have the ride. But they are riding today. This is not a time to be just thinking that everything's okay as a nation or as a people. So that's what I had today. The Father really placed it in here in my heart that, guys, we need to take our garden serious. We need to take our lives serious. We need to take our family serious. We need to be praying for our nation serious. We need to be doing this. There's no more coattail riding. You know what I'm saying? We're all responsible. You young people, I'm telling you, you young people, and I'm talking about from, let's just say, from 10 to 25. Guys, you're fixing to inherit a mess from my generation. Because they will tell you that it'll take about 20 years of schooling that's from the universities that's created this mess today. And you know what's sad? It would take about another 20 years of right schooling to reverse this mess that we got. So guys, we are in a mess. And you young ones, you better know where your heart is in this. Because if you don't, it's going to be too easy to follow the crowd. Amen.
So I want to read this scripture that, if you'll know biblically and historically, Yahweh does the same thing over and over and over and over, and usually at the same time. And in the fourth month, which we are entering in tonight, in the fourth month is when Yahweh began to bring judgment to Israel for idolatry. And I'm going to tell you the danger for all of us in our society. Douglas, I'll never forget in this teaching you said that if I read this word and I cannot make it apply to me today, it's just words on the page. So how does the fourth month apply to us today? Historically, Moshe broke the tablets in the fourth month. Why? Because of the golden calf incident. Because at the golden calf incident, they were serving Yahweh through that calf. Mixed worship. We are created to make His praise glorious. So we are not to be given to the ways of the world. In the fourth month, He's going to get that out of us. Because that is equal to idolatry. That golden calf incident was idolatry. So how does that apply to us? He comes down partway and he asks Joshua, what's that noise I hear? Because there's singing and dancing and revelry going on. What is that noise I hear? Is that the sound of war? No, it was mixed worship going on. So it isn't that they don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah or that Yahweh is Elohim. They are mixing what they do in their everyday life with what we do on Shabbat. And it's in this fourth month that he began to bring judgment on it because we are not listening to when the voice, when we're reading this, all of us, I'm saying, and when Mark's ministering from this, this is the prophet speaking. And if we don't heed it, then we're rejecting it, because, and then we're mixing our worship. Listen what the New Testament, quote, Colossians 3:5 says. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So if we will let go of the things that our flesh wants to do, as we often say, starve the flesh and feed the spirit, starve what you want to die and feed what you want to live. And if we want to do that in this fourth month, when the judgment comes, is starting in the fourth month, but when it's fully realized in the fifth month, we can escape the judgment. And we don't, this is the 3-week straits, known as the 3-week straits, look this up, in the Bible. When they breach that wall, first time on the 17th of Tammuz, then on the 9th of Tammuz the next time, but both times the temple is destroyed on the 9th of Av, for that 17th of Tammuz, when there was 3 weeks, what they call the 3-week straight. Judgments are coming in the fourth month. They are mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. They are mourning. But if we are not mixing our worship, watching what we put here, watching what we put here, watching what these things do, where our feet go, when that judgment comes, we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We get to rejoice in having a clear conscience before our Elohim, walking upright with him, and he will conceal us in his protection because we are not mixing our worship. There is no room today. From now on, there is no time to play around. We have to cross over. That's what Ivri Hebrew means, to cross over. We have to cross over. We want no one left behind. But here's the ratio. It's about 50%. You got 10 virgins, all have lamps. They do not all have enough oil. Oil is the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to fill us up. It's important. We grieve sometimes and cry on our face in our living room when we hear and see the things that we hear and see, because it's so important. So I'm begging you, please, in this fourth month, let's not one of us be in the line of the judgments that's coming on idolatry that I read to you from the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, that tells us what idolatry is for us today. And it says, put to death your earthly desires. What earthly desires? That which does not line up and is pleasing to him. Remember, we are the image of Elohim. Therefore, what we do in this body is either defiling the temple or it's honoring the temple. He will not overlook defiling the temple of Elohim. So we must weigh our actions or he will. Amen. So, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. But please, let us encourage us to good works. And if we have the good works, we will escape it.